Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Combined Science Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we're diving into one of the most fundamental topics in physics, forces and their effects. This is topic 9, and trust me, once you really understand forces, so much of the rest of physics just clicks into place. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. A force is simply a push or a pull. That's it. But here's the thing. Forces are absolutely everywhere. Every time you pick up your bag, kick a football, or even just sit in a chair, forces are at work. And understanding them is key to explaining how and why objects move the way they do. In your exam, this topic typically appears across multiple question types, from short one-mark definitions all the way up to 6-mark extended response questions, so it's worth investing real time here. Now, the first big idea I want you to nail is the difference between contact forces and non-contact forces. Contact forces, as the name suggests, only act when two objects are physically touching. Think about friction. When you slide a book across a table, friction acts between the book and the table surface, opposing the motion. Or think about the normal contact force. That's the force a surface exerts back on an object resting on it. If you put your hand on a desk, the desk pushes back up on your hand. That's the normal contact force. Other contact forces include tension, like the force in a stretched rope, and air resistance, which is a type of drag. Non-contact forces are different. They act at a distance, without the objects needing to touch. The three you absolutely must know are gravitational force, electrostatic force, and magnetic force. Gravity pulls masses together. It's why the Earth keeps you on the ground, and why the Moon orbits the Earth. Electrostatic force acts between charged objects. Like charges repel, unlike charges attract. And magnetic force acts between magnets, or between a magnet and a magnetic material. In the exam, candidates are frequently asked to classify forces as contact or non-contact, so make sure you can do this confidently. Now, here's something really important. Forces are vector quantities. What does that mean? It means they have both a magnitude, that's the size of the force, measured in newtons, and a direction. This is different from scalar quantities, which only have magnitude. Speed is a scalar, temperature is a scalar, but force, velocity, and acceleration are all vectors. A really common mistake candidates make in the exam is treating forces as if direction doesn't matter. It absolutely does. A 10 Newton force pushing right is completely different from a 10 Newton force pushing left. Always state both the size and the direction when describing a force. This brings us to free body diagrams, and these come up in the exam a lot. A free body diagram shows all the forces acting on a single object, drawn as arrows. The length of the arrow represents the magnitude of the force, and the direction of the arrow shows which way the force acts. Here are the golden rules for drawing free body diagrams. First, always use a ruler. Examiners will penalise sloppy freehand arrows. Second, label every single arrow with the name of the force, and its magnitude if you know it. Third, draw the arrows from the centre of the object, or from the surface where the force acts. A classic example, a book sitting on a table. You draw a downward arrow for weight, that's gravity pulling the book down, and an equal upward arrow for the normal contact force from the table. Because these arrows are equal in length and opposite in direction, the forces are balanced.
Which leads us perfectly to the concept of the resultant force. When multiple forces act on an object, we can replace them all with a single force that has the same overall effect. This is called the resultant force. If forces act in the same direction, you simply add them. If they act in opposite directions, you subtract the smaller from the larger. The direction of the resultant is the direction of the larger force. And here's the crucial link to motion. If the resultant force is zero, meaning all forces are balanced, the object either stays still or continues moving at a constant velocity. No change in motion. But if the resultant force is not zero, forces are unbalanced, the object will accelerate in the direction of the resultant force. This is Newton's first law in action. For higher tier candidates, you also need to be able to find the resultant of forces that act at angles to each other. This is where vector diagrams come in. You draw the forces tip to tail, meaning the tail of the second arrow starts at the tip of the first, and the resultant is the straight line from the start of the first arrow to the tip of the last. For two forces at right angles, you can use Pythagoras' theorem to calculate the magnitude. For example, a 3-newton force horizontally and a 4-newton force vertically give a resultant of 5 newtons, because 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 25, and the square root of 25 is 5. Scale drawings are also assessed. You'll be given a scale, asked to draw the vectors accurately, and measure the resultant. Always use a sharp pencil and a ruler, and state your scale clearly. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. First, watch your command words. If a question says state, give a brief factual answer, one or two words or a short phrase, no explanation needed. If it says describe, say what happens using correct scientific terminology. If it says explain, you must say how or why. Use the word because to link cause and effect. For calculation questions, always show you're working. Even if you get the final answer wrong, you can still pick up method marks. And always include units. Newtons for force, meters per second squared for acceleration. Now, let me flag the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Number one, confusing scalar and vector quantities. Remember, vectors have direction, scalars don't. Number two, drawing incomplete free body diagrams. If you miss a force, you'll lose marks. Always ask yourself, is there gravity? Is there a normal contact force? Is there friction? Is there any applied force? Number three, getting the direction of the resultant wrong when forces act in opposite directions. The resultant always acts in the direction of the larger force. Number four, forgetting that balanced forces mean zero resultant, which means no change in motion. Not necessarily that the object is stationary. An object moving at constant velocity also has a zero resultant force. Okay, quick fire recall time. Cover your notes and see if you can answer these. Ready? Question one, name two contact forces. Friction and normal contact force, or tension or air resistance. Question two, what is a vector quantity? A quantity with both magnitude and direction. Question three, what happens to an object when the resultant force acting on it is zero? It remains stationary or continues at constant velocity, no change in motion. Question four, a 12-newton force acts to the right and an 8-newton force acts to the left. What is the resultant force? 4 newtons to the right. Question five, name the three non-contact forces you need to know. Gravitational, electrostatic, and magnetic. How did you do? If you got all five, brilliant. You're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways. Forces are pushes or pulls measured in newtons. They are vector quantities, direction matters. Contact forces require physical contact. Non-contact forces act at a distance. Free body diagrams must show all forces with labelled arrows, use a ruler. The resultant force is the single force that replaces all forces acting on an object. Zero resultant means no change in motion. Non-zero resultant means acceleration. And for higher tier, practice vector diagrams and Pythagoras for forces at right angles. You've got this. Forces and their effects is one of those topics that rewards careful, methodical thinking. And that's exactly what examiners are looking for. Keep practicing those free body diagrams, keep checking your directions, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.